Amen. All right, so I'm going to dive in today. I've got a lot of scriptures I want to read as we look at today's message. Let me just recap real quick. There's several topics, several subjects in God's Word that is very difficult sometimes to preach, to talk about. And sometimes pastors, preachers, teachers sort of shy away from it because there's so many opinions. If I were to ask many of you a certain opinion about something in the Bible, we'd probably get many different opinions. And the opinions are okay, but there's an absolute truth. And there's a truth that's in God's Word that we choose to believe. And if you don't believe in absolute truth, then you may want to read through God's Word because His Word is true. God never changes. He's the same today as He was yesterday, and He will be the same tomorrow. We change. We change from the time we wake up in the morning to the time we go to bed at night, but God never changes. And I want you to hear that this morning because I know we've said it time and time again. God remains the same. A lot of times, here's what happens is when we go through a difficult time or a trial in our life or we're fighting something, you know, maybe the enemy, the adversary, that lion, he's seeking to devour and destroy us. Maybe he's come into your life and he's attacking you. How many of us have gone through attacks before? Almost every single one of us here today. And then when we go through those attacks, right, we always go back and say, well, God's going to get me through it. Or maybe a sickness in our life, we always say, God is going to heal me. The power of Jesus Christ, He's going to heal my body. We believe it. God never changes. But then we go to other subjects in the Bible and we say, well, maybe today is not the same as it was when that was written in God's Word. Because what happens is, in our life, we become complacent and we begin to study, and what feels good to us, we'd rather believe in that than the absolute truth of God's Word. So there's a couple of topics that are tough for preachers. I want you to have grace with me today because I'm going to tackle part two of one of those topics about money, finances, and possessions. All right? So here we go. Let's dive into that today. So last week, the big idea last week was this. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And we begin to lay out the idea of asking the question, how much is enough? Is our life a life that is chasing after riches, or are we chasing after God? Because if we're chasing after riches, then we cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is a Syrian word from a Syrian god that means riches or wealth, the desire to chase after wealth. But here's what I don't think I was very clear with last week. Is it wrong then if we have wealth? No, absolutely not. To much is given, much is required. And I know many people who are very wealthy that worked very hard to gain wealth in their life, and they're big givers. They give greatly. And we ask the question, how many of you want to be a giver, right, to give? I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of the message today to give. I'm going to hold it to the end. So I want you to grab a hold to this idea, this spirit of giving. Right, the title of the message is really about tithing and today. What's this thing about tithing, right? You mentioned, listen, a pastor or a preacher mentions the word tithing, all of a sudden, right, people, whoop, they build up walls and they start writing stuff down. I'm emailing this pastor on the way. Tithing, right? That tenth, that percentage, he wants 10% of my money. No, I don't want any of your money. God doesn't even need your money. What he's looking for is a surrendered heart. And if Jesus spoke 16 of 38 parables, if they had to do with money, possessions, and finances, then it's probably saying something to our hearts. So I'm not going to shy away from the subject. I'm going to dive in today and do my very best and hope that you can grab the idea of what we're talking about. So today, we're going to take part two of this message because we know that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says, no one can serve, Jesus says, two masters, for either they will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money or mammon. Right? So last week I said, hey, who wants to be a giver? I hope all the hands went up. I want to be a giver. I want to give not just to the church, but in general, that when I see a need, I want to be financially able to be able to help meet that need as God leads me to do that. The very first challenge that I had, and I told the story last week, first challenge as a young man on my own, right, in the military, in another country on the other side of the world, with a brand new wife, the very first challenge I had was, am I going to be a giver or not? The first time I had to completely depend and trust on God at a level I have never done before. Because a young man, my dad would say, son, you're hanging on to my coattails with your faith and my faith, and that's okay. One day you're going to have to let go. One day you've got to learn who God is and know who He is in your life. And you're going to be challenged by the world, or you're going to be challenged by God. And that was a moment I was challenged. The very first challenge the young man I had was, am I going to be a giver and be obedient to God? So what I want to do today is I want to look through the scriptures and look at God's word. We're going to start in Genesis and work our way through. So I'm going to go pretty quick. But I want you to catch the big idea about what I'm talking about, because I think it'll answer many questions that many of us have about, are we supposed to be tithing today under the new covenant when it was part of the old covenant? Okay, do you understand the question? Right? Okay, grab onto that and hang on. So let's start. We're going to start in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 4. Right? We want to uncover, as we look through God's word today, uncover the spirit of giving. And in Genesis chapter 4, we see this story of Cain and Abel. Now, Adam and Eve, right, they were in the Garden of Eden. And there was a sin. They sinned against God. And what happened? We know the story, right? Very first story in the Bible, right? What happens? They get kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And now all of a sudden, right, they don't have, because in the Garden of Eden, they had everything they needed. They had food. They had the water, right? They didn't have to work. God gave them everything they needed. For those of you today who say, well, you know, I really don't like to work. Well, when you get to heaven, you can talk to God, and maybe Adam and Eve will be there, and you can ask them the big question, why? Why? I don't want to go to work. Dave's laughing over there. All right, Dave. So one of the curses of the original sin is that we would have to be, the Bible says, tillers of the soil, keepers of the flocks, and work and provide for yourselves. So right off the bat, as we see in Genesis chapter 4, we're going to read verse 2 here in a minute, right? That out of being kicked out of the Garden of Eden, we're going to have to work. Here's, let me just say this to you before we read this story about Cain and about Abel, right? As you read Genesis 1, 2, and 3, there are no references, right? There are no references that Cain and Abel would sit in a church service, right, and listen to a message on the heart of giving. Right. Matter of fact, as we read it, we don't read anything where even their parents had told them, but yet they knew that they were supposed to give unto God. So the very first story we see about giving here is Cain and Abel. Now, Genesis chapter 4, verse 2 says, now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel brought an offering. Fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Now notice we see that both of these young men brought something to the Lord. And in our culture today, as we look at giving, right, maybe they would have looked at, these are givers. They both came to the Lord and brought an offering and gave unto the Lord. At least they were being generous with their stuff, right? But here's the question we need to answer today. Why do you think God looked with favor on Abel's offering but did not look with favor on Cain's offering? And we're going to look at a lot of scripture today, right? And we're going to uncover the spirit of giving. And you guys are going to sit there and you're going to look at me like this, real quiet, like, what's he going to say next? But I want to encourage you, a little amen here and there helps this pastor out, okay? So we're going to find out. Here's why I think, right? Because one of the principles that we're going to uncover this morning about giving is the principle of being giving and generosity. Giving and generosity. So God wants, as you look at this story, right? See, God wants our first and our best. He doesn't want the leftovers. Does that make sense this morning? Right? Amen. Thank you. He wants the first and the very best that we have. The difference between Abel's offering and Cain's offering was Cain brought something that was left over. But Abel, on the other hand, brought the firstborn of his flock. So how much faith is it required to bring our first? Right? Let me ask you the question again. How much faith does it take? Let's just throw it out there real quick. Let's just say, how many of you have been through a difficult financial time? Right. I have been through some very difficult financial times. And it's very difficult when you're going through that time of finances when you don't have a lot. It's very difficult to look at that checkbook and say, well, I know I'm supposed to give my tithes and offerings unto the Lord today, but you know what? I've got to pay this bill and pay that bill and pay this bill. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to hold off. And if I got anything left over in my checkbook, then I'm going to give unto God. I've done that. Church, that's been me. And that's why I believe that God challenged me right off as a young man about giving. It takes faith to give when you don't have. Okay, let me go back and remind you what happened in the story. I'm going to give you some numbers of money numbers here for a second so you'll catch what I'm talking about. I'd say $1,500 in a savings account, right, that we had to come back to the States. And God told me to give that away, right, to someone who had a need. And in obedience and fear, I did it with faith. Within 3 days, when my hand was a check for 3 times the amount of what I had given away. Because God was looking to see, am I going to be faithful and have the spirit of giving and have faith that he's going to give in return. Do you catch the spirit we're talking about this morning? And that's what he's talking about with the story of Cain and Abel. He's saying, I don't want your leftovers. And that's not in just money. That's in time and everything that we do in life. In other words, if you want to give him your, don't wait till you're all tired from work, right? You're dirty, you come home, you're dragging, you want your supper, you want to watch the news, you just want to go to bed. Well, I'll read my Bible before I go to bed. Let me challenge you this morning. Why don't you wake up 30 minutes earlier, get your coffee, woo, get refreshed, get into God's Word first thing in the morning, and find out how much you can accomplish in your day. Let me ask you another question. Well, we'll move on here first. So God says, I'm looking for people who are willing to give me their first and their best, not the leftovers in their life. And here we see this first story in God's Word. Then we're going to move on. Let's just jump ahead a little bit. By the way, this is very important. This story took place 2,500 years before the law. It's important. I want you to remember that. 2,500 years before the law. If you want to know what the law is, we're talking about the Levitical law, because this is the question that comes to me as a pastor all the time. Well, pastor, I hear you stand up there and you say we're supposed to give and give our tithe. But nowhere in the New Testament does it say I'm supposed to be tithing. That's under the old law, not under the new covenant. Right? But what I want us to do today is catch the spirit of giving, because I think it'll help you understand and be able to answer that question. So here we are, 2,500 years, this story of Cain and Abel. And we fast forward in the book of Genesis, just 10 chapters, right? 2,000 years later, 500 years before the law of Moses was given. And we see this story of Abraham. Now let me put this in my own words for the sake of time. Abraham's minding his own business, right? He's out there, he's doing his thing, he's starting to settle in a little bit. And all of a sudden these kings get together and they're a little bit afraid of Abraham, because they've heard that Abraham has this great God. And they're a little afraid, so they get there, these kings say, we got to go do something. So they go in, right, and they steal from Abraham. Not only they stole his stuff, they grabbed some people as well and took them away. And Abraham, like many of you, if someone came and took your stuff, you probably want to go get it back. Am I right? No? Some of you say, no, you can take it. If that's the case, tell me where you live. I'll come get some of your stuff. No, he wanted his stuff back. So he gets together, some of his friends and his family say, let's go get our stuff back. So he takes off and he goes, right, and with the help of God Almighty, he rescues the people and gets all of his stuff back. And now he's coming back in, right, from this great adventure of getting his stuff back. And who does he meet? Let's read this. Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God the Most High. So as he's coming back into the city there around, right, with his stuff, this priest, we hear the very first priest of God Most High, comes out to meet him. And what does he do? He comes out with bread and wine. So he's coming out to give an offering to bless them because of what God has done in their life. And here's what's continuing. He says, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram, by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. And what did we read next? It says, and Abram gave him a tenth of everything. We know the word tithe, right, really means a tenth, right? So if you come and you say, well, pastor, what do you do? What's your tithe? What is your giving? I'm going to be transparent with you, right? So what I do is I set aside, when I make my money, right? Let's talk about money. When I make my money, I set aside the first tenth. Before any bill is paid, I take a tenth of my income and I give it to the Lord. You know why? It's not because some law or somebody got to, some church is making me sign some agreement saying, if you're going to be a member, you've got to give a tithe unto the church. No, that's not why I do that. It's because I've caught the spirit of giving. And we just start at a tenth. Because if I'm not willing to give and sacrifice some of the things that are the most important to me, does God really have my heart? Now, let me just go back to what I said last week. A lot of times as you're sitting there, if you didn't hear our message last week, you're probably saying, well, a pastor's up there talking about giving. He's talking about tithing, right? He wants our money because we must not be doing too good. Maybe the church is not doing real well. Well, I don't think it's wise for a preacher or a pastor to talk about giving and tithing when there is a great need. I believe it's wise for a preacher or a pastor or a teacher to talk about giving when there is no need. Right? So as a church right now, we have no debts. We own the property. The giving for this church, that's why I'm encouraging our giving at this point, going 15 months into the church plan, is more than I ever would have thought. You go and look at the national average, you guys are givers. You've understood the idea, you caught the heart of outreach. You caught it. Every time there's a need and I say, hey, we've got this need. Let's meet the need of 22, 23 families who need a Thanksgiving meal, right? You meet the need and you go above and beyond. So I'm not here talking about giving and tithing because we need money or we have a need, because we don't. We're doing great. This church is doing wonderful when it comes with our finances and our giving and our facilities. Why? Because we've caught the heart and the spirit of giving. And as we give and meet the needs, God's going to take care of our needs. Do you believe that? Amen. Now apply that to your own life. Oh me. Okay. Maria says I can be kind of tough up here sometimes. I'm a really soft guy. Just want you to know that, right? A little intimidated, sort of soft-spoken. But I get passionate about my God. So let me ask you a question. Has anything been stolen from you? Have you had anything stolen from you financially in the last 2 or 3 years? All right, let's fast forward. Well, here we are in Moses. So now the law has been given to Moses. And then the law, the Levitical law, it says this. The law says that everyone, now the law says everyone was to give a tenth of everything. So now tithing in the Old Testament under the old law was what you had to do. It's a law. You have to do this now. As a member, right, of the tribes of Israel, this is what you do. It was not just the spirit of giving, but it had become a law of God. And now tithing was introduced into the book of Leviticus. But I want to move farther a little ahead to King Solomon. Because I think Solomon, who was living under the law, right, he caught something. Solomon grabbed this idea. He caught this spirit about the law. And I believe he's the foreshadowing of the new covenant believer. I think Solomon was. Because we read in Proverbs 11, verse 24, and I believe he had caught the heart for giving. Because Solomon says this. He says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. And here's the principle. Solomon had caught the spirit of the law. And Solomon had gone from being a giver under duty and obligation to being a giver who had caught the spirit of the law. Are you catching me? Are you still with me? Are you tracking with me this morning? Right? Are you left behind? Like, I'm not sure where we're at. That's okay. Go online and listen to it. You can catch it up. All right. So now let me break this down, what I'm talking about. All right. So bear with me. So here's a question. So let me sort of lay it out to you like this. Maybe you'll understand. Is there a law that says we are not to murder? Okay. Maybe we need, instead of FPU, we can do a civics class. Okay. Let me ask you one more time. I'm getting nervous. All right. Is there a law that says you shall not murder? All right. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Let me ask you, what about stealing? All right. Good. I was getting nervous. I'm like, okay, they're not quite catching me. So let me ask this question then. Is the reason that we do not murder is because we don't want to be held liable to the law out of fear of going to jail, or is the reason that we do not murder is because that we believe that the crowning jewel of God's all creation was humanity and we value life. So are we not murdering? Thank you guys for not murdering, by the way. Are we not murdering out of duty and obligation to the law, or because we've caught the spirit of life? What about stealing? Are we not stealing? I took a pen from work. Are we not stealing because we're afraid if we get caught, we're going to go to jail? Or are we not stealing because we believe that what belongs to somebody else belongs to them and it's not ours? So is it out of duty and obligation, right, and fear of the law? Or is it because we understand and value that when someone owns something, it belongs to them and we value them? So do you understand the idea of the spirit of the law versus the curse of the law? Good. So let me ask you a question. Did God give the law to the people of Israel before or after he delivered them from the Egypt? This is a teaching. Now I know I'm sort of going this, trying to go through this pretty quick, right? All you Bible scholars out there, was it before or after they were delivered from Egypt? It was after God gave them the law. So basically God says, look, he says, Israel, he says, you are held captive. You cannot free yourself. You cannot deliver yourself. So I, God Almighty, am going to come and deliver you because you need deliverance. I'm coming to save you from captivity. And he did. He took them out of Israel. And then he says, now I'm going to make a covenant with you. The covenant, this is the law. I'm going to give you this law. Do you know why he gave them the law? Because he wanted to show them how to live. Now let's talk about Jesus Christ for a minute. How are we saved? Are we saved by our good works and the things that we do? Or are we saved by grace? We're saved by grace. We're saved, right? We could not save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. We will never be good enough to go to heaven. God knew it. And Jesus Christ came down and gave his life so that we could. He sacrificed himself and says, now, he says, I am come, God Almighty, I am going to save you through my son Jesus Christ because you cannot save yourself. I'm going to do it because I love you and I'm going to make a new covenant with you. Why? To teach us how to live. You see, under the old law, this is how the old law worked. The Leviticus law worked like this. He goes, God says, you do your part, and then I'll do my part. The new covenant says this, you do your part, I'm going to do your part as well. See, that's grace and that's mercy. And so when the Holy Spirit, I'm way off my notes. I don't know where I'm at. I'm chasing this thing. So bear with me. All right. This is what I talk about, the prophetic part of preaching. All right. It's on me now. So let's go. No, I didn't lose. I still got it. I'm going to go look at my notes. But the idea, you just messed me up. Now I got to go to my notes. See, normally, right, we talk about the conversation coming to church and how that has been sort of, you know, hit or miss sometimes. Now it's going to be the conversation going from church to home that we're going to have. I'm driving that conversation today. All right. So God says he's going to save us. Because in the new covenant, we're not saved because of our good behavior. We're saved because of God's grace. So I'm going to read another scripture to you this morning out of Malachi, because I think this is one of those scriptures where we get a little confused sometimes and we like to argue, because so many times I have people come to me and they want to have this conversation, right? It's almost like they're looking for a way to justify why they're not doing something. Have you ever, you know, you got kids, right? Your kids come to you and they sit there and they kind of give you one of those arguments. They're trying to argue their way through something, right, Brian? Right? They're arguing their way through it, right? Because they're trying to justify maybe something they don't want to do. I think sometimes when people come, they say, Pastor, I need to talk to you because I don't understand this idea of tithing and giving, because that's under the old law, and I don't think I'm hell bound to that old law of tithing. And I think what happens is, right, they've missed the spirit of giving. They've missed the heart of God. Because I believe that Jesus Christ came. We're going to read what Jesus, he tells a story here about this. But I think when Jesus Christ came and he says, look, he says, I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit's going to come to give you the power to fulfill. So in other words, right, if murdering under the old law was wrong, but yet under the new covenant is wrong as well, right, why do we throw some things away and we keep others? We need to keep the heart of God, surrendering our heart to him. And this story, this passage in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, let me just read it to you because I think there's some neat things in here we sort of overlook sometimes as we read the scripture, because we like to focus on the robbing God and the word tithe, right? That's what we focus on, but I think we miss, right, the rest of what is in this passage. Verse 6 says, I see the Lord. He says, I, the Lord, do not change. Remember we said that in the beginning of the message. God's the same yesterday, today. He'll be the same tomorrow. He does not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. He says, ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and you have not kept them. Right? So here's the common response, right, in the hearts of humanity, the hearts of our hearts, right, toward the covenants of God, right, and the requirements that God gives us, our hearts sometimes is to resist it. That's why we need Jesus Christ. Because we want to resist what God is calling us and telling us to do. And our heart really is to rebel against it. He says, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord. He says, but you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? We ask, but you ask, how are we robbing you? The Lord says, in tithes and offerings. He says, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, he says. Test me, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent the pest from devouring your crops, and then the vines in your fields will not drop their fruits before it is ripe, says the Lord God Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. And here we have this passage. This is written 1,000 years after the law of Moses. I mean, I think a lot of us wrestle with the idea that we want to take the easiest road. We look at the easiest road to take and we're willing to take this, but here's the core of the covenant God has made with us, right? Here's the idea. The idea is God says, you will be my people and I will be your God. Let me say that again. You will be my people and I will be your God, right? This idea is found in Deuteronomy, Jeremiah, Hebrews, and Revelation, Old Testament and New Testament. Matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 8, when Paul is talking about the new covenant, he's actually quoting and referencing Jeremiah 31. So let's talk about this law for a minute, because I want you to understand why the law was given to Moses, right? And see how maybe we can still apply some of that to ourselves today. The law was broken down into three parts, right? The first part was civil and government order. Matter of fact, many of our government order and laws and rules, right, that we have within our constitution we live by today were taken from the Levitical law. In other words, right, you have a right to face your accuser, right? That's a law in civics and government we have, which is the same in the law of Moses. So a lot of what we have today was taken from this law. Here's the second part, is about personal health and hygiene. This is the second part of the law. All right, so the idea, and Matt's not up here, he'd love this. So the idea was that bacon would kill you 2,000 years ago, and bacon will kill you today, right? So if you're one of those people who like to wrap everything you got in bacon, it's probably not good or healthy for you to be eating that much bacon. I don't like that part of the law. I don't like the fact, right, that bacon's not good for me, because I can eat bacon with everything. I think bacon is awesome. How many of you like bacon? Right? Love, come on, see? You got the spirit of bacon. All right. But why was this important? You see, because God was looking for a people who were healthy. He looked at people who were strong. He gave them a diet to live by, because what he needed was a strong people to go into the promised land and take the land. Right? If they had been consuming bacon for the last 40 years, they probably were not able to go take Jericho. Right? They were probably trying to wobble out there. I don't know. They would not have had the health, right, to be able to take Jericho. So do you think health and hygiene are good ideas today? Okay, this side, yes. I'm going to talk to these guys. You guys, not so much. So I don't know if you took a shower this morning. Yes, health and hygiene is still good for us today. Here's the third part, was personal holiness to God. And this is what God was telling. He says, look, you got to get rid of your idols. You don't put anything else before me. You don't curse your brother. So please do not come and curse me or your brother. So these are the three areas. So my question is God still concerned about government and civil order today? Absolutely. We're not to murder or steal. Is God still concerned about personal health and hygiene? Yes, we are the temple of God. We are to take care of our bodies, and I'm working on that. I haven't been a good steward of taking care of this body, but I'm working on it. I'm going to continue to work on that because I know that God, this is the temple of God, and I need to keep myself healthy. Let me tell you why you need to keep yourself physically healthy. All right, this has gotten over into health class 101. We went from civics to health. I don't know. We need to keep ourselves healthy physically because the spiritual battles will drain you physically. If you don't believe it, find yourself in a spiritual battle and go to battle spiritually and see if your body doesn't react. We are the temples of the Most High God. Is God still concerned about our personal devotion to Him? Yes. This was the purpose of the law. But yet we have a new covenant, and I thank God for the new covenant. I don't want to be under the curse of the law, but I don't want to miss the spirit of what God was saying. And I think sometimes we want to pick and choose those things, and the idea is that we don't lose the spirit of giving, the spirit of tithing unto the Lord. And I know there are times that many of us may not have a whole lot. We're like, I don't have a whole lot. Let me, Pastor, I'm it's tough right now, right? Financially, we're not doing good. Let me read you a scripture in Mark chapter 12, verse 41, right? Here's one of the Jesus has been preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He's moved on now and he's gone. He's sitting at the temple. Here he is, says Jesus in verse 41 of Mark 12. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. I wonder if God is watching what we're doing today. And many rich people threw large amounts. Rich people were throwing large amounts of money. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus says, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. Now I want you to notice two things that Jesus says that'll help you catch the spirit of giving, catch God's heart. She put in everything, all that she had to live on. You see, a lot of times the heart of God when it comes to the spirit of giving is not giving out of wealth. It's giving out of poverty. You know, we sing a song, right? Because there's another scripture that says, hey, there's pain in the offering. We sing a song, blessed be the name of the Lord. That song, y'all guys know that one, right? If you've been a Christian for about 20 years, you probably do. Blessed be the glorious name. Give and take away. Line that it says there's pain in the offering. How many of us have had pain in the offering? So the idea today about tithing, the truth about tithing today, no, we're not under the old law. We're under the new covenant. But let's not lose the spirit and the heart of giving for God. One other story right here, and I want to throw a challenge out to you today. One other story, I've got to read this one. I know we're a little longer today, but this is a wonderful story because it really speaks about the church. So here we are, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Jesus has established the church. So the church has been established like we see it today. The church as we know it, right? So the church, it goes from this priestly-led temple model of a church to the apostle-led fellowship that meets as a family. Remember what I said before about church, right? We're not a church at an event that you decide to come to on Sunday morning. We are a family that you belong to, and sometimes we're a messy family, right? That we want to be part of. That's who we are as a church. And here this church, right? In 1 Corinthians, Paul says this. He says, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Now here he is talking about specific churches in an area, the Macedon. He says, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and in their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. You understand, right, that this church had caught the heart of giving. They were poor. They had nothing. But yet they heard of a need, and they rose up and began to meet this need. Right? So in other words, what happened was, is this poor church, something happened from the inside out. God was doing something with the Holy Spirit from the inside out. He says this, for I testify that you gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. Right? So the idea was, is that the church in Jerusalem, right, was being persecuted. People were dying. They're starving to death. And the churches in Macedonia said, hey, we hear of this great need. What we're going to do is we're going to give out of our poverty. We're going to give generously because we've caught the heart of God for giving. And out of their poverty, they gave. What happens sometimes is in our riches, we want to give and we want to give greatly. But in our poverty, we want to hold on. And sometimes it's in that poverty time, in that place that we need to give unto God because he's looking for a heart that is surrendered to him. Do you trust that he's going to heal you of sickness? Yes. Do you? Do you trust he's going to deliver you, right, from an adversary? Yes. Do you trust he's going to get you through this trial? Do you? Do you trust that he's going to meet your needs? Yes. That's the heart of giving. In other words, it's not surrendering, right, to the riches or to the poverty. It's surrendering our hearts to God. That's the heart of giving. That's what tithing is all about. In all of these scriptures, when we read about giving, right, and about tithing and generosity, is God is looking for a willing heart. Here are four principles found in the New Testament and Old Testament. I'm going to close with this. Joseph, you can stay over there. You don't have to hobble up here. You want to hobble up here? All right, come on. Hobble on up here. He's going to hobble up here and play in our closing. I want to give you these principles while he's coming. The first principle is this. Everyone should give as they are able. Everyone. Right? Don't look at Joseph. Look at me. He's all right. All right? Come on, Joseph. All right? Come on. Everyone should give. Here's the second one. God should get our first and our best, not the leftovers. Number three, giving should be worship. That's why here at Life Church, when we give, I don't want you to have an announcement and sit down, do a song, and pass the offering basket. We don't do that way. We give at the end of our time of worship because it is a part of worship. We give it unto God, our praise, our worship, our adoration, and then we're going to give him our finances. So we continue to remember that we give our heart to God as part of worship. Here's number four. God blesses generous people. God blesses generous people. There are people I know who are very wealthy and they give a lot away. They're not serving two gods. They serve God. And says, God, I will give whatever you tell me to give. And I want to tell you how this church is working. All right? We had our fall festival. A lot of needs were met. And some said, well, you know, Pastor, you were selling stuff like $1 and $2. Yes. We ended up giving stuff away, but we wanted people to understand and know, right? Give a little. Give something. Understand that principle and spirit. But a young man showed up at our fall festival. His name is Jason. And this kid was off the walls, man. He was off the walls. He was throwing the football. He was running. He was like in your face, right? I'm asking, hey, is he on drugs? What's going on? Well, this young man, he left his home in Maine and came down here looking and searching for something. I don't know what he was looking for. I think he was just trying to escape. And he showed up out here. And I want you to know that this church accepted him. You guys accepted him into your life. He would come in this early in those doors and he's early. Desmond, right? Desmond says, maybe I'm putting him in the headlock and he's mine. I'm taking this kid. Took him out, talked to him, fed him. He'd show up early. He walked as his pastor. He goes, look, I grew up in a Christian home. I know what I'm supposed to do and not supposed to do. I know. I need help. He said, he began to cry. He said, but I want you to know something. This church accepted me. Right? Now, you know what the heart of giving is? Bill Wallace, our elder, he pulls a kid aside. He says, I need to talk to you. What's going on in your life? He had a great conversation with him. They got down to the nuts and bolts of his life. This young man, he says, I need to go to Teen Challenge. I need to go. So let me tell you what the heart of giving is about. So your elder, you know what he did? He says, great. He called me up. What's the number? He wants to go. Let's get him there. We started making contacts, made some phone calls. Next thing you know, he's got an appointment. Bill drives him down to the appointment. Left him there. Right? So he's at Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge says, we need $750 up front and $750 a month to keep him here. What can you give? I told Bill, I said, well, I tell you what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. As a church, we can commit to $100 a month. Will they take that? Absolutely. We'll do that. Bill says, I'm giving the first $100 to support this young man. I said, I'm giving the second. Now, I want to ask you again, do you have the heart of a giver? Have you caught the heart of God for giving? Because this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you, right, how many of you are willing, right, to sponsor this young man for 1 month? $100. How many of you have an extra $100 to give? How many of you do not have an extra $100 to give? Give $100. Why don't you invest, right, into this young man's life? Because God's got, I talked with him and I prayed with him. And I know God has a plan for his life. I saw the passion in his eyes. I watched him. I believe God's going to use him in a great and a mighty way, but somebody has to believe in him. Somebody has to say, I will sponsor him. Because I know, as I look around this room right here, I know many of you have been through Teen Challenge. I know it. And God changed your life. And if we're going to sit here, we're going to talk about tithing and talk about giving and the heart and the spirit of God. You know what? Stop talking and let's start doing. Right? Maria says, you know, every time, you know, there's a need, this church rises up and meets that need. That's what God's called us to do. So this message on generosity and how much is enough and the heart of giving, this is why I'm preaching this sermon series. Not so that you can start giving to be blessed, so you get the heart and begin to understand, I've got the heart of giving because this is what you give to. This is the opportunity where we, like this Macedonian church said this, the church in Jerusalem, he said, look, they're suffering, they're starving to death. And on our own accord, we're going to rise up, we're going to give out of our poverty so that this young man, right, can find Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what I had to do with this whole process. Nothing. I didn't lead it. All I did was pray for him. You know what happened? You, the members of this church, rose up and said, just like this Macedonian church, he said they did it on their own accord. You rose up and said, Pastor, we want to do something. Do it. This is what I'm asking you to do today. I know I got excited. So I'm asking you to do. Grab the heart of God for giving, for the purpose of reaching the lost. You want to know why we give our tithe? You know why I give 10%? We give more. You don't want to, I'm going to be transparent. Not because I want to brag on myself. It's not about me. Because I believe in what we're giving, right, to God. We're not giving to some nonprofit organization so we can get a tax write-off at the end of the year. That's not why I give. I give because I know that this church will be able to help those who are hurting and lost. Why do you think God gave us this property? Why do you think that we have no debt? Why do you think that our giving in the first year, right, is $75,000 more than what we even anticipated? Why? So we can sit on a big old fat emergency fund? No. So that we can get the heart of God for giving and reach this community for Jesus Christ. Because terrorism is in this world. The enemy's coming to steal, to kill, and destroy. Listen, Jesus is coming soon. You hear what I'm saying? We are in the end times, and instead of us getting so concerned, right, about, when is he coming back? Who's going to be the Antichrist? Get concerned about your neighbor who doesn't know Jesus Christ. Get concerned about your co-workers. Get concerned about the young man who walks in the door. And he says, I need Jesus. If someone tells me I need Jesus, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give them Jesus. Now you got me sounding like my Southern Baptist daddy. Would you stand with me this morning? A little different this morning, I know. I know it's different. But I want you to catch my heart. I want you to catch, God has changed me. Do you understand? God has changed me in these last 2 years. I can't explain it. I cannot explain to you what God is doing in me. And my prayer is that He begin to change you, because we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We have been called to make disciples of all nations. We cannot be happy just sitting around here doing nothing. We've got to get busy doing the work of God. Does it take money? Absolutely. This is what I'm challenging you to do today. If you want to sponsor Jason for a month, I want you to see Bill in the back. We're going to just forget the FPU today. We'll talk about that next week. See Bill in the back and say, hey, I want to sponsor you for a month. If you want to make that check out, you make it out to Life Church for $100. Say, just write Jason on there. Let's make sure this young man can stay in Teen Challenge for the time he needs better. Let's watch what God does in his life. Let's wave him to walk through those doors a changed man, giving his heart back to God. And let's watch God use him. Can you say amen? God, we love you, Father. We give you glory. We give you honor. God, I thank you for the change you're doing in me, God. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for the vision you've given us. Lord, to see the health, right, and the spiritual health and the families and the community that you called us to be part of. Lord, don't let us get complacent here in these four walls, God, but keep us charged, Lord, passionate about reaching the lost. Lord, help us as we get that heart of generosity, the heart of giving, because it's not for selfish gain. We're not chasing after wealth or return, God. We give because we know you want us to. And we want to help reach the lost for you, Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Look, you're dismissed. If you need prayer, our prayer team will be up here for anything. You can come for prayer, right? See Bill back there if you want to be part of this young man's life. You guys have a great week. We'll see you next week. God bless you. That mountain. To the holy.
Gather near to us once more.